Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohlig right here on LA Talk Radio.
And how lucky you are.
Yes, right? Me or you?
Well,
you're going to have to be more specific.
I think everybody in the room.
We're all lucky. Yes, we're all lucky.
You and I especially.
It's Rocky Horror, right? I'm lucky, you're lucky, we're all lucky. Magenta, see? Useless stuff stuck in my head, man.
Lord, just, it's going to be one of those days.
It is. How are you doing?
I am okay, thank you for asking. Having a little trouble hearing myself here.
You are?
Yeah, a little bit. Oh.
I can hear you.
That's all right. There you
go. And more importantly, our listeners can hear you.
I hope so.
Yes.
They can't see me, though.
They can't see you, but they can hear those cashmere vocal cords you
have.
You just, we should do that one day. I'll try to do your voice for the whole show, and you try to do mine, which would be easy for you. is that it?
Oh, no.
I thought you were just going to
plug. You occasionally burst out with that.
All right, so I'll be Michael Sterling.
There you go.
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead. Thank our sponsors.
I think we should. We'd like to thank our sponsors, ladies and gentlemen. Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
Yes. Yeah,
for them.
Thank you.
Yes.
You know, Paul,
yes.
I'm excited about this show today.
I am sitting here beside myself. That's how excited I am.
That's hard to do.
Yes.
Yeah,
so. My favorite musical. My favorite.
And you know this.
And you shouldn't even call it a musical, not to disrespect musicals, but anthemic rock opera is a more proper title for it, I think.
You're shaking their heads.
Yes.
Our guests
yeah, they're
be.
Nodding. Yes.
And do you know that for myself personally, my connection with this musical is that it was the first time, I was super young, and it was the first time that I had ever been to the Hollywood Bowl.
Really?
That was the incarnation of it when it was a rock concert.
Really?
Yeah.
You know that I did Jesus Christ Superstar myself.
Really?
I did when I was 22 years old.
Wow.
I played Jesus, yeah.
Did.
And you know how long ago that was? Ask me how long ago it was.
How long ago was that?
He was still alive. That's how long ago it was. A long time ago.
That was
low. Many, many years ago.
Very low on the scale. Well, listen, I just want to say this. The musical that launched the careers of composer Andrew Lloyd Webber and lyricist Tim Rice and ushered in a new era in musical theater will open Doma Theater Company's 2015 season, helmed by director Marco Gomez and musical director Chris Raymond, the duo behind Doma Productions of Dreamgirls and Young Frankenstein. Jesus Christ Superstar opens February 13th for a six-week run at the beautiful Met Theater in Hollywood.
Today we are joined by not only a member of the cast, but also the director of this highly anticipated production. Please welcome director Marco Gomez and the man playing the man himself, Nate Parker.
Hello, guys.
Welcome.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello. Hello, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming. We're so excited.
Yeah.
Thanks
before
for having
we
us.
Get into conversation with Paul, I want to ask you, how was your week?
My week was fine. Very, very exciting news. This short film that I wrote and did very well at the festivals, The Beating, we just got selected as a featured Saturday short on ainitcool.com, which is this incredibly trafficked website, which my friend referred to as the Hollywood Reporter for geeks and nerds.
Oh, it sounds like it.
It's a fairly coveted spot, and we've got so many views now. It's very, very exciting. We did like the first year, 2014 was the year of the festivals, and 2015 we'll be sort of getting it out there on the on the interweb, as the kids are calling it. But very, very exciting, and just astonishing response to a very dark take on a very off-putting subject matter. So very, very excited about it.
Good
and your
you.
Week, how was yours?
Coming into the home stretch of LA's Next Great Stage Star, which is a musical theater competition that I've been producing here in Los Angeles for, this is year nine. And it's an amazing, in fact, I've been trying to get you, actually, circumventing channels to get to you. So now here you are, and I'm going to talk to you about it later. But it is very thrilling for us because We introduced new talent between the ages of 18, 28, sometimes this year 32. We expanded that backside, and they have this amazing opportunity to get in front of the people that they cannot get in front of otherwise. And, you know, the core of the elite of Broadway's hiring mechanism out here for Los Angeles Theater and for New York. And 11 of our kids have already made their Broadway debuts.
11 on Broadway, yeah. But I mean, when you consider like national tours and things.
But another 85, 88, I think we're at right now, and those that are working professionally in what it is that they want to do.
And so. You know, the great thing about it, Michael, and I said this before, but I say it again, having attended it a number of times, that even though it is a competition show, I almost don't like it to be, when you describe it that way, because people immediately assume, you know, this sort of mean-spirited television sort of mindset of that, and it's not that at all.
Not
it's very nurturing.
Yeah.
It's very supportive. Not that they're coddled or anything like that. I mean, they are given, you know,
they're told after performance. No. You know, they're in a produced situation. Mm-hmm. It's really an audition kind of slash performance, and they're told after that in front of a live audience by a panel of judges. You know, four different judges a week. What they felt about that performance, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, and why are you wearing that color of, you know, dress, young woman, when you're singing about a different color of a dress? I mean, it's why are your nails, this, you know, all things. This is what they think about when they're in the audition process. They just don't say it, and the person auditioning walks out of the room feeling pretty good about themselves, and they don't get a call back. They don't know what happened. This way they do and
they
make
know.
These adjustments, and the kids that listen score big.
Obviously do very well. So this is how many more weeks left?
We're coming into our finale.
This is the final week.
Sunday. Yeah.
All right. Well,
so
best of luck with that.
And the other thing I did very quickly, I just want to acknowledge Cabrillo Music Theater out in the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza at the Fred Cavalli Theater. They also have the Share Forum, which is where I went this past Saturday to see their production of Stephen Sondheim's Company. And first of all, that theater I haven't been into before, and it is very beautiful and very self-contained. It's more on the small side, probably around 200 seats, maybe 300 seats. Just beautiful. And part of the reason why I went is that two of our stage star contestants from previous years are in the production, both co-starring in it.
Oh, really?
The lead in the show that plays Bobby, Alexander John, and one of the female leads, Chelsea Emma Franco, is co-starring in the show. Beautifully directed by Nick DiRuccio and choreographed by Kate Kaplan, and a fantastic cast of people. It's one more weekend, ladies and gentlemen, out at Cabrillo Music Theater Thousand Oaks.
Great show, Company.
Yeah.
My friend Lena did the Ted Koch, one of my best friends in the world, his wife Lena, who's become a great friend. She just did the revival on the last one with Raul Esparza.
Which was so fantastic.
Yeah,
that one.
She had to learn how to play the stand-up bass.
Yeah,
and
play.
She plays about a half a dozen instruments. Incredible talent. Speaking of incredible talents, you like that segue?
I do.
You can tell I've done this before? Our first guest is a co-founder of Doma Theater Company, which is dedicated to the preservation of musical theater. He primarily serves as executive producer and director of Doma's musical productions. Recent directing credits include Young Frankenstein, which was Los Angeles Times Critics' Choice and Ovation recommended, Dream Girls, which was 4 L.A. Weekly Awards, including Musical of the Year, Best Direction of Musical, as well as 5 NAACP Awards, including Best Director of Musical. His philanthropic activities include the development of affordable housing for low-income families, programs for runaways and at-risk youth, as well as battered women and children. Please welcome Marco Gomez.
Hello there.
Marco, how are you?
Oh, I'm well. And you?
Pleasure to meet you. As I said to Michael, very, very excited to talk about Jesus Christ Superstar. You did it yourself. We were talking in the green room. You said you've done it before. Did you know when you did it that it was a future goal of yours to direct it and present it?
No. Definitely, anytime I've done a role, I don't want to direct it. Because the first thing is, I'm looking who's going to be the lead actor and can they do it better.
Right. So why this time? What changed your mindset on this one?
I found somebody better.
Eddie's here.
Because Marco has this mane of beautiful hair.
Yes.
Here, right?
It's
very... you could play the role, maybe. No?
Oh, yeah. I have the beard, the hair, the age.
It's so, all good.
So the so this production, I'm always curious about sort of telling this tale. One of the other things we were talking about beforehand is, and Nate agreed with us on this point, that there are so many people who sort of learn the story of Christ's last days through this musical. Just because of the accessibility of the music and the way that it's presented. Stylistically, how did you arrive at the style that you've chosen, and can you share, or do you want to share sort of how it's presented? It's not fully period. It's not like, you know, costumes of robes and sandals, or is it? What, can you give our listeners sort of an idea of what to expect?
Definitely. Our concept actually took consideration what we had seen in previous shows. Some have just done musical theater. Some just did concerts, rock operas. We took all the elements that we think are the best of all three and combined them into one. Okay. We did bring them into modern times. So you are going to see social media influences, Twitter, Facebook. You are going to see the hipster movement and the influence of executives and politicians, and how all these three groups affect our times, and yet they don't talk to each other until Jesus Christ comes into the picture.
Right. You know, that's very interesting, because while you were describing that, I was actually thinking of one of the lines of the show, which sort of changes the whole thing, because in Superstar, when Judas says, if you'd come today, you would have reached the whole nation. Israel in 4 BC had no mass communication. And now we do. And just about how when something happens or when someone says something, the world knows instantly. And what would it have been in Christ's time if the world was that? If that this message that this man from Galilee had could instantly get worldwide, like it would just be, it's astounding to think of what it would be like, sure. How much different it would be.
And not only are we going to be able to show that on stage, but we're also going to have an interactive live feed via Twitter. So our audience will be able to tag in hashtag DomaJCS, and their tweets will be shown on the screens, on the walls, as the show's progressing during intermission and off times.
Really?
So we will be able to share pictures. The actors, when they take pictures, will also be able to share them with the audiences.
So there'll be a live feed of the show for people to see, or
inside the theater.
Inside the theater, okay. Yeah, because I'm saying you're stepping on your ticket sales there, man.
Oh no. We want to immerse them in the experience.
Wow.
So let me ask you too, that when you're updating the production values of a show like that, is there any conflict with the licensing companies involved with the show?
No, they are actually very gracious to tell us what we can and cannot do. As long as we don't touch the lyrics, the music as it is, we are able to interpret it in our own way. There is no set script. It's only sheet music.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a very smart thing
of
them to be liberal-minded like that, too, because you have to kind of move along with the times here, and we want to introduce a younger audience to theater, first of all. You know, and that's who you're marketing to by what you're doing.
And that's one of the beautiful things about Jesus Christ and its authors. They allow us to integrate a lot more. And what we're doing is, because we are bringing it into the millennium with Facebook, Twitter, we're also bringing in high school students. We Doma sponsors buses to bring students to the shows.
Fantastic. Really?
Yeah, we did that for Young Frankenstein. And these were kids that it was the first time actually watching a musical theater production.
Wow.
And after that, they wanted to be actors. They wanted to be crew. So we actually sparked that thing that is that is inside us.
I would guess, make a blanket assumption just about the style of the music, but I'm excited to hear how this musical embraces them more, because as wonderful as Young Frankenstein is, it is definitely a musical theater piece, whereas this is so much more let's look at the Brown album. Let's look at the original album that started it all. Jesus Christ Superstar was not introduced as a show. It was introduced as an album. It was introduced as a concept album, which is such a brilliant move when you think about the time period that it came out and how there had been no sort of physical stage. I mean, aside from things like, you know, films, you know, Charlton Heston or others, to have a representative person playing Jesus, to have that Brown album. I call it the Brown album, but it's the one that everyone remembers with the thing. To present this and say, you know what? Whoever you imagine your Christ to be, we're just going to have you listen to it. We're just going to present you with the music and let you imagine what you will. And it's such a brilliant thing, because then you weren't having to match. They weren't having to match anyone's preconceived idea of who Christ is and what Christ looked like and what color he was or whatever. You got to just hear the music and hear the story. And I don't, Nate, what were the other ones we were talking about? Tommy,
and Hair.
Hair. The other things that were just introduced as concept albums and became theater pieces later.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I just...
How long did it take? What do you know, Marco, how long the gap was between that first, between the album and it actually opening on Broadway?
I don't have the exact time with me.
I think it's about a year and a half.
It was pretty quick.
Yeah. It was, but the thing is, the album was already multi-platinum before anything happened with a live theater production of it, which is not only, you know, which is also brilliant marketing, you know, to present that thing out there and have people already singing along with the songs before, you know, there's anything to happen. Now, Marco, when you were talking about the marriage of all of these different things, like a concert presentation and a stage presentation, how did you sort of arrive at that balance? Is that something that you had in your head when you started directing it? Did it morph in sort of a workshop process as you were directing and going through rehearsals of the show? I'm interested in that process.
Well, our process began around November, December of last year. So when we first did the pre-development meeting, I told them, I want modern times. And we thought about projections. We thought about the hashtags and Twitter feeds. We wanted it to be modern. But then how to preserve some of the dramatic moments. Then we thought, set. We need a real set. John Iacovelli created this wonderful set that turns into different morphs, actually, would be the best word, into different sceneries. Not only that, even though we're an intimate theater, we have the most lights, movable lights, in all theater row. So you will get that feeling of a rock concert with lasers and lights for certain numbers. But you will not lose the dramatic effect of the moments between Peter and Mary or Mary and Jesus.
Right.
So we are able to establish every single moment that people love.
Because that's really the dance with this show when you think about, because there are so many, you know, the Simon the Zealot, there are so many just like chanting, you know crowd songs, Hosanna, Hosanna, all that. But then you have those moments of personal reflection that are so poignant that you don't want to get lost in the flash. The first one I think of course, is Could We Start Again, Please, which is just this gorgeous song, which I guess we were talking about. It was not on the original Brown album, but was then put in the, was in the film and then was in the musical as well. But that is quite a dance. You have your work cut out for you, retaining those moments.
And the beauty of our set is that it's different levels. So for example, that number, you have the...
You're talking about Could We Start Again, Please?
Could We Start Again, Please. You have Peter and Mary. Then you also have a view of Jesus with the guards. And then you also have the people that are coming to see and watch the spectacle that is taking place.
Right.
Three separate scenes in one stage. Wow. Another one loses value.
Right.
So your focus will be able to shift smoothly through each one of them.
And that's why, you see, that's one of the great things about that theater has all over film. Because when you see the movie, you're not seeing what you want to look at. You're seeing what the director wants you to look at, because they control your focus with that camera. Whereas with live theater, you have that example you just gave, you have that option of going to the Mary, to Peter and Mary, to going to Christ, to going to the people, and sort of selecting what connects with you. I think that's one of the things that people...
Isn't that similar, though?
What?
Isn't that similar, though?
Well, it's the difference is that I'm making the choice of what I want to embrace in a particular scene, whereas with a movie, the director is deciding where he's going to place the camera and what he wants to show me.
Isn't that essentially the same thing?
Well, no, it's.
I mean, he's directing the audience. He's directing the audience too by the method.
Well, he's directing the audience, but the audience in that theater has the choice to look at whatever they want
You're
to
right.
look at.
Yes,
whereas
that,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. But
don't question me, Mister. Don't question me. Not about Jesus Christ Superstar.
Good Lord. All right. Marco, what is your background here? How long have you been doing this? I mean, it's so refreshing to find someone that's got this mind that you have that I know that you're just based on the description of this show.
Oh, this is going to laugh. 33 years.
33?
33 years.
Wow. Why would I laugh at that?
Jesus.
Because, oh, that's right. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I didn't think of that. And Jesus was involved in musical theater at that time. I don't know.
He's always been involved.
Yeah, he's always been involved. Some way or another. His name has probably been uttered backstage at more musicals.
Sure. People are thankful, grateful. Oh, my God. Okay.
Speaking of uttering his name, let's utter his name here along with uttering the way that people can see this wonderful production. This is, of course, Jesus Christ Superstar being presented by Doma Theater at the Met Theater. It will play Fridays at 8, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 7. It opens February 13th. Opens on a Friday the 13th. How about mm-hmm. that?
Well, actually, we like the number 13, but Sundays okay. we open at 3.
Oh, okay. I have this wrong then. So Sundays, there's a 3 o'clock show, not a 7 o'clock show.
Correct.
It plays at the Met Theater at 1089 North Oxford Avenue. For tickets, 323-802-9181, or you can go to domatheater.com. Theater has the R-E spelling. And we will, of course, throw this information out there a number of times before the end of the hour. And there's all sorts of other ways. Facebook, search Doma Theater, Facebook.com, Doma Theater. Twitter is at Doma Theater, and Instagram at Doma Theater. Tickets, general admission $30. It astounds me. VIP $34.99. What you can see, the quality of what you can see in Los Angeles for 15% of what you're
That's
paying for a theater ticket.
That's less than a tank of gas.
What's that?
It's less than a tank of gas.
Well, now it's
speaking.
Less than a tank of gas. It wasn't a few months ago.
Right. Well, we didn't have. I knew you know that was going to change. That's all a calculated. Situation of the gas pumps.
And if I remember correctly, this is 1089 or North Oxford. Oh, this is Theater Row, as you mentioned.
Correct.
Right. Okay. Good. Yeah.
We're right at the corner of Santa Monica Boulevard and Western, one block east.
And where can people park? We always like to tell them that because in that particular area, it's not easy.
Correct. We actually have a parking location that is on the other side of the freeway going east.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Medical Plaza.
Oh, beautiful.
And people can park there for free, or is there a charge?
There is a charge, a $5 charge.
Oh, that's certainly worth it.
That's nothing.
Considering the fact that
that's a trip to Wendy's.
Often you're paying $15 or $20 to park.
Yeah, exactly. That's a Frappuccino, you know?
Exactly.
We should do our arts calendar, Michael. We have a brief arts calendar, and then we'll sort of hit the ground walking with Nate here. But do you want to kick that off
Sure,
for us?
Absolutely. An aging cult founder faces the end of his life in isolation and regret. Disconnection travels across 7 years in the life of a successful lawyer, his piano instructor, mentor, and his estranged daughter as each come... Boy, this is strangely worded, Paul. Is this right from the source here?
What's that?
It's not reading.
No, I just took out all the vowels.
Oh, thank you. He does this every once in a while to me. We do it to each other, actually.
Yeah.
Let me start again.
Okay, go ahead.
An aging cult
And I'll just hum quietly to myself.
Do that, please. I was going to say, I don't know how to love him or something like that might be more appropriate.
Okay.
An aging cult founder faces the end of his life in isolation and regret. Disconnection travels across 7 years in the life of a successful lawyer, his piano instructor, mentor, and his estranged daughter as each comes to terms with their involvement in the church. Based on the contemporary events and today's headlines, Disconnection is a provocative and powerful indictment of doctrinal. Yes. Thank
yes.
you. Doctrinal intrusion in personal relationships.
Actually, no, the problem was I didn't italicize disconnection. So disconnection, you didn't know was the title of the show.
Right.
So that's what threw you.
That would help.
Yeah. Skylight Theater Company opens with this new work by Alan Barton, Disconnection. In light of recent attacks by extremists, the relevancy of questions regarding freedom of thought and speech seem absolutely necessary as part of today's dialogue in our communities. Based on true events and current headlines, Disconnection is a powerful indictment of contemporary religious intrusions, as Michael already said, into two personal relationships. Yeah, I really mailed this one in, didn't I? The show plays through February 21st at the Beverly Hills Playhouse. That's 254 South Robertson Boulevard in Beverly Hills. So that sounded very, I was very, very intrigued by it, especially with that horrific thing that happened on the internet. Not didn't happen on the internet, but it's been all over the internet. This horrible murder of this Jordanian pilot set on fire. Just what, I mean, just beyond. Horrible beyond imagining, and things like this that can hopefully shed a light and in some way put some sort of understanding to a mind that could do and create something like that. So,
unfortunately, we're seeing more and more of that. So.
Yeah. So, anyway, well, with this is all that theater can do is illuminate things
of
that nature. So, anyway, Michael, would you introduce this talented gentleman to my right?
I will indeed. Hang on one second. Oops. Oops. Sorry. There goes the water. Everything's happening. My phone's going on, and I didn't turn it off.
You didn't turn it off. That's okay. I'll take the call.
Yes?
Yeah, let's see who it is. I'll answer it.
Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
Simon Rings, you grab it.
Okay.
Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is a New Mexico native, New York veteran, Los Angeles transplant, and has traveled and performed just about everywhere in the continental U.S. Some of his favorite roles include Peter and Jesus, understudy in Ted Neely's national tour of Jesus Christ Superstar, Wes Hightower in the national tour of Urban Cowboy, Chuck Cranston in Footloose, choreographed by Emmy winner,
A.C.?
A.C.? Oh, it is A.C. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what's the correct pronunciation of his last name?
I believe it's Suila, but I'm going to butcher that too.
Suila. C-I-U-L-L-A. A.C. Yeah, there we go. Jamie, this is a rough show today, Paul. Jamie in the last 5 years and Jonathan in Tick, Tick, Boom at the Millbrook Playhouse. He was recently seen in Los Angeles in Beyond the Stage's production of Rent. But today, we are talking with the big man himself. Please welcome Nate Parker. Appropriate.
So.
That was nice of Roger to come in for that.
So.
Exactly.
You're going to play Jesus. No pressure.
No,
no
not at all.
No pressure.
You know, the good thing about doing this role is nobody knows anything about it.
Exactly. So do it on the road with Ted Neely, the man himself, the guy who did the film. That had to be an incredible experience for you. Can you share what that was like?
It was amazing. Actually, you know, I lived in New York for about 5.5 years, and I remember before I moved there from New Mexico, I had gone on to the production company's website, and they had talked about pre-production of it all the way back then, and I really wanted to be a part of it from that period. And so I remember auditioning for it. I was just on pins and needles. And when I got it, I kind of lost my mind a little bit, and it was a real treat. He's, if you haven't had the pleasure of seeing him perform, it's pretty spectacular, and he's, I can honestly say, a very genuinely nice guy on and off stage.
Really?
That's who I saw do it. Was Neely.
Ted Neely?
He did the bowl concert. He actually continued to do it for
He's still doing it. Literally, I think he just had a couple of shows in Italy he's been doing for the last couple of months.
But how old can he possibly be now?
Well, he's older than Jesus was. We used to joke that he has been Jesus longer than Jesus was Jesus.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Much longer.
It's sort of like MASH, a TV show that ran four times as long as the Korean War actually did.
True. Oh, really?
Yeah. Is that still that ridiculous falsetto of his?
Oh, my God. Actually, I think it's better than it was in the movie.
Really?
That's what I can tell you live. I mean, it's so pure and it's so clean. And
well, that's a testament to someone of his age to
absolutely
get that muscle in shape, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he works at it diligently and it's very obvious. So.
Wow.
So rather than talk about that Jesus, let's talk about your, but thank you for sharing that story, but let's talk about your Jesus. How do you, as an actor, put your own stamp and put your own spin on a character like this?
Well,
what's your process?
I mean, you know,
and if I write down things furiously, just pay no attention.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. I mean, I think you do the same thing you do with every character. You know, acting's all about a process, and with a show like this and a role like this, that is probably the single most popular, well-known man in the history of mankind. You look at the original material you're given there, and then. You see what the writers wrote and you try and understand what they went through, and then you you go to the references and the resources they would have used, which there's plenty of.
Yeah.
And then after you've got all that stuff together and you've worked on the music and the dance steps, then it's time to start really putting this character to life in the world that your director's giving you. As Margo said before, we have a modern update, so that's a different Jesus than a traditional take on Jesus, and you've got to account for that. For me as an actor, I always like to get my feet first or my core, and so it starts with, you know, where does your character move from? Do they walk from their hips? Do they walk from their chest? And why do they do that, you know? And then you have that informs your character, and it informs your speech, and it informs your gesturing, and then you start developing the relationships with the people that you have on stage, and you make some solid decisions that you work out together. You know, I mean, is Mary a friend? Is Mary more than a friend?
Right.
Does Jesus really know the future? Does he not? You know, I mean, you got to make these solid choices, and how you're going to portray them, and you need to know what they are. Or nobody else will, for sure. So that's what I do.
Who did you learn that, or is that something that's just kind of innate?
I was lucky enough to go to a university, the University of New Mexico, and have two incredibly inspiring and informing teachers in Paul Ford and Denise Schultz. And
they're right here, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Paul was my intro acting teacher, and he was one of those people who he was very much like, okay, now what does it feel like when you're on the wall, and what color is your mood in this scene? It was very touchy-feely and hippy-dippy, and it was hard for me to get a hold of, and eventually I did. And then Denise was very like, okay, where's your transition? Where's your cutoff? Look at your punctuation. This is ridiculous. You would never say this way, you know?
Right.
So the two kind of really made a wonderful marriage of
both
giving
sides,
me
yeah.
a lot of foundation. And people always ask you, they're like, well, are you trained in like Meisner? Do you method? And I'm like, I think they kind of just blended everything together. And called it acting.
Mm-hmm.
So,
No, I'm just curious. The physical, as you mentioned earlier, I always find that to be, you know, people don't normally lead with that when I ask this question, a lot of people about the process and everything, and they don't. A lot of them don't really lead that. It's refreshing to hear that you do. One of the things Uta Hagen used to talk about was that when she would perform in a show and the person had some sort of mental thing going on in her head that she didn't want to fully reveal, she'd put a pebble in her shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And just it would just offset her just enough that she wouldn't really have that plant and that, you know, just and barely discernible. But it's just a fascinating thing. But in terms of the physical and Christ the man versus Christ the icon, did you read, you know, the book Zealot? Did you read Zealot?
I haven't read Zealot.
Read Zealot, because okay. It's all about sort of who the man himself was. But I find it interesting, going back to the physical, because one of the greatest songs in the musical, in the show rather, which I hope you agree with me on this, is Gethsemane. I think Gethsemane is one of the most amazing pieces of music in theater.
It's a beautiful piece of music, yeah. And it is a long, challenging
piece of music.
Yes,
it is. And in the Bible, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they talk about that, there's a mention of Christ sweating blood when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I found out just recently that that's actually a physiological thing.
It's incredibly painful.
That happens. It's like a precursor to a stroke. When you are so stressed and so anxiety-ridden and flooded with so much adrenaline, you actually do bleed from your ears and from your nose and from your eyes. So I always find it fascinating to see sort of justification of things that sound so fantastical and so, you know, out there. It's like, no, this actually could have very easily happened.
Well, I mean, in all the research that you can do with all the materials, the only thing I can find that just about everybody agrees on is that Jesus was a man that lived around that time,
mm-hmm.
and Pontius Pilate crucified him.
Mm-hmm.
That's just about it. Yeah. So you have all this wealth of material to draw from and create this character. Yeah. And it's like you said, you know, I mean, you try to read these details and then just imagine what that is like in a practical application
right.
to you personally and to people who are watching it.
And going up against perceptions, that's the other thing. Mm-hmm. Going up against perceptions, not only of performances, but also just things that we, you know, have just become a given over the years. There's no mention in the Bible of Mary Magdalene being a prostitute. There is no mention of that.
Well, you know,
she's
what's
a fallen woman. That's all they say. She's
the
a
most
woman,
common name at the time for a woman was Mary. And I think it's mentioned in the Bible, like in the New Testament, there's like 9 or 10 different Marys or something. So it's pretty easy to see how you would get confused considering. I mean, I've
got a bad rap.
four or five different friends named Mike, and I have to like use nicknames or last names or nobody will know who I'm talking about.
Right. Yeah. No. I mean, in terms of bad rap, I just think that it's the male dominated mindset of either who was writing it or who was reading it that immediately fallen woman, whore. You know, got to be a prostitute. I found it fascinating that there is no mention of that in the Bible.
Well,
I'm not
a
religious person.
You're also just assuming that they're just making that assumption about one person. It could be, I mean, this is like a third-hand story that they heard verbally before it was even written down.
Right.
And you have over 50 texts that were brought in at the Council of Nicaea that were blended together to form the Bible that we know, and then that Bible was transcribed and translated and pages torn out. I mean, what you're getting is a game of telephone and you're the 20,000th recipient.
They say that about a lot of the Shakespearean folios too. They say it's what a lot of the actors could remember and then wrote down, you know, but who knows? Part of the joy is imagining.
And my Bible has a photograph of Susan Anton in it.
Does it really?
Yeah. Does that have any bearing on it?
As Jesus?
As Mary Magdalene, yeah.
Your Bible has a picture of Susan Anton.
I'm just trying
to... Of all people.
Excuse me. Just bring a little levity.
Michael, would you please share with our listeners once again how people can get tickets for this?
Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ Superstar performances begin February 13th, opening through March 22nd. Fridays at 8 p.m., Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3 p.m. at the Met Theater, 1089 North Oxford Avenue in Los Angeles. It's a beautiful theater, spacious, and a great part of Theater Row.
Right. Yes. And parking across the way.
Parking across the way.
For $5.
Nominal $5.
Price
and
of a frap.
Admission tickets are $30. Excuse me. And VIP seats are $34.99, which includes reserve seating and a complimentary snack and beverage. So seniors, students with ID, $20. Yeah, you can't beat it, right?
Yeah. No. And that's 50. They have the parking here. Yeah, 5250 Santa Monica, 2 blocks east of the theater.
Actually says $6 here.
Oh, well, then I'm not going.
I'll give you a coupon for us all around.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Marco.
So, Michael, I think that one of our cast members is in
LA's Next Radio Station.
Yes,
yes, he is. Alex Arthur.
Yeah.
And who does he play?
He's ensemble, so he's got quite a few roles. He's one of the apostles, obviously, throughout the show, and he's also a soldier who does some furious flogging on me. He's an immense talent. We're lucky to have him.
He is, and a very, very nice person on top of us, so we enjoy having him with us every week.
Yeah, speaking of that, good point, how big is the cast, Malcolm?
Technically 23.
Wow. That's a good-sized cast for that theater.
Oh, yeah. The green room is definitely packed.
Yeah.
Does the orchestra in any way assume any sort of character?
No.
No?
We keep them separate on a platform for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are they in the playing area or off behind or back? Or
they are visible to the stage right up.
Okay.
So the audience will be able to see them rock out, especially on certain rock concert numbers like Simon Sillett's. You'll see them doing their thing.
Right.
So you'll get a nice view of instruments and singers, just like you would at a rock concert.
And all of these images all over the walls with the photographs and
the hashtags. And Twitters and the actors with their cell phones taking pictures and snapping.
Wow.
And one of the things I was going to mention is our social media manager, Jose, he's actually doing a lot of contests. Through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and we are going to release a new trailer in our YouTube channel.
Oh, okay. And that is all people would have to do would be to go to domatheater.com to find that?
Right. The handle for all the social platforms is at Doma Theater.
Okay. And as a reminder to our listeners, theater in all cases here is spelled R-E, the proper way.
Right.
Not
the English way.
The English way.
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
Because they're English.
No, I know, but why do you think that? Someone told me that theater is the art. R-E is the art. And E-R is the building.
Which makes sense to me. So I would go with that.
I'm going with that.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. Favorite roles, Nate? I mean, aside from this one, obviously.
And when did you know that you wanted to be an actor and a singer and all of this?
I was a late bloomer. Yeah, I had the advantage or disadvantage, depending on how you choose to view it, of going to three different high schools. And for anybody who has ever
done
that.
At the same time, which
yes,
is really
impressive.
Yes, at the
same time. I failed all of them, no. And if anybody who's ever done that, you know it's incredibly challenging for somebody who's going through that part of their life. And I had a friend who was in theater, and he was like, you should do theater. And I was terrified of going up in front of people, and I had
a
teacher.
It's a good way to meet girls.
Yeah. It was a good way to meet girls. But, yeah, I had a friend or a teacher who said, you know, you're going up in front of people, and I'm going to teach you improv. And it was the greatest thing that ever happened. It really made me a whole lot more confident. It's how I sort of built a social network at that point in my life. And when I went to college, it was what took a hold of me, and I've been doing it ever since.
Yeah. It's interesting because he said something very key about you know, gaining a confidence about himself as, through the art, which is very nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot
and
of performers out there who
actually, because,
who are terrified to go up in front of people, and then that's how they start. You know, you just got to conquer your fears. I mean, I think it's all inside all of us.
Or in my case, it was something that happened later in life. I started to about 35 or 36, around the time Michael and I met. I started to get out of nowhere incapacitating stage fright and anxiety attacks, panic attacks, sweats, everything, just completely out of the blue. A year before, I could go up, you know, and do anything on a stage comfortably. Then, boom, all of a sudden just hit me. And so I wrote a one-person show to combat it. I said, "What? How are you going to stare down that dragon? What's more frightening than a one-person show? More intimidating?"
Ovation Award-winning, I believe.
Yes, as a matter of fact, yes.
Somebody's done their
homework. Yeah, I read.
But it's, yes, and that was it was supposed to be 8 shows and turned into 9 years and 1,400 performances. So that was sort of...
Can we get an applause on that?
Stare down that dragon. But, no, it's fine because you mentioned that. And I think that a lot of people, and God bless you, and lucky that it was for you that it was early on, but it is. It makes you... You do stuff like that and you're like 6'10 and bulletproof. I mean, you really just, you know, it helps your confidence tremendously.
Yeah. If you ever worried about being insecure, you go up in front of a bunch of casting directors and have them tell you why you're not right, and you'll either learn to deal with it or never go up in front of anybody ever again.
And if you start getting too uppity, there's this thing called the internet.
Oh, yeah.
And that will take care of any ego. That
my fiance, she works at a YouTube channel, and just every once in a while I'll read comments on her videos that she does, and some people can be a little rough. Most people are actually pretty good, believe it or not. But some people can just be, woo.
Well, that's just it. You know, the internet can be great, and it could also be the world's largest bathroom wall,
exactly.
Depending on, you know. You're going to say something like
no,
that.
No, I was going to say, are there actually YouTube channel network?
Oh, my gosh.
Offices?
You would not believe it, Michael. I'm not kidding you. I mean, like, it's the way of the future.
I mean, the YouTube itself.
She works on a full channel. It's her full-time job.
Wow.
Yeah. It's the craziest thing. I had no idea about it before I started dating her, and it's kind of the way of the future. I mean, and that's kind of the cool thing about our show is that Marco's enveloping this new social media into theater. And I think, you know, I mean, when you talk about theater, particularly like musicals and opera, like, we love our 60 and over crowd. You guys are amazing. You've been there for us through thick and thin. But the 60 and over crowd's starting to thin out as time does. Wow. And if you don't refresh, you know, the tree from time to time, it will disappear. So I think it's important to do these kind of shows where you add in elements that is hopefully going to bring and entice a younger audience.
Right. Well, this is the kind of show I think that you can do this. Yeah. I think there are many that you could not touch it. And,
You're right.
It would be actually disrespectful to the piece, I think.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you can't update Oklahoma.
Right.
Yeah, when Dolly Levi comes down the stairs with the cell phone, it just loses a little something.
Yeah. That would be a bit rough.
And the beauty of it, you can also get, I think it's the responsibility of producers, in the main theaters to just bring new work so that we can bring in new talent. We cannot all be doing cabaret every single year.
And
one of the things, if I may, is later in 2015, we are actually going to be doing Green Day's American Idiot. So we are going to be rocking all of 2015.
Wow. Fantastic. And you're also going one step farther, Marco, by not only making something that young people can embrace, but in the case of what you described earlier, actually physically bringing some of them there to for many of them, the first live theater that they have seen.
Yeah, the wonderful thing about DOMA is that we are a 501c3 nonprofit. So mm-hmm. we are able to get social programs. We are able to get funding. For example, for Jesus Christ Superstar, I'm eternally grateful to Stella Mora. She's with AOLifestyles.com. Okay. She has given us makeup kits for every single actor.
Wow. Wow.
I know this one.
Yeah, she's a super... well, she's really famous in the Hispanic market. Yeah. She's doing Ricas Famosas Latinas.
Yes, yes.
And her husband is one of the best singers alive. So.
Oh, wow.
Fantastic. You know what I want to ask you? Because I have been staring at this logo for as long as you have been in business. Your logo.
Yes.
What is with the bat?
It's a dragon, actually.
A dragon. All right.
And reason it's a dragon is because my sign is a dragon.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted to create not many companies now, because I have quite a few companies, and not many of them have a crest. So I wanted a crest.
Well, you have one. I'm so sorry. Would you...
What's that?
That's a dragon?
Oh, well, you know, I could see you saying that. It's very small, and I have my glasses on, but let me look at it. As I said, this wouldn't print up for me, but... Oh, no, I could see... Yeah, you'd have to look at it a little close, but I could see how you would make
well,
that.
Well, now drawing. I know it's a dragon.
So yes.
That's what I'll refer
to. It inspires fear into the hearts of actors when he's giving notes.
It's...
You got to listen.
Right behind him.
Yeah.
I'm going to put this out here one more time because then we're in our home stretch.
That's
we have
right.
5 minutes left. We're going to ask our guests to share a performance nightmare. But we've been talking about Jesus Christ Superstar. This opens on Friday the 13th, February 13th, that is. Fridays at 8, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 3. The Met Theater, 1089 North Oxford Avenue in Los Angeles. Tickets, 323-802-9181 or domatheater.com. And Michael, do you have all of the social media information there?
Yes, indeed. And you can visit them on Facebook at facebook.com/domatheater. You can follow them on Twitter at domatheater. Follow on Instagram at Doma Theater. It's very consistent.
And $6 for parking, 5250 Santa Monica, only 2 blocks east of the theater. Where are you going to find that in New York, huh?
New York. Yeah, huh? Yeah, no way.
You're not.
No, yeah.
Nate, okay. Nancy.
Whatever you like.
What the hell is your name?
Either one will work. I'll answer to anything.
You're on the hot seat.
I don't think we got a chance to tell Marco this. We'll let Marco think of a story while Nate tells his. A performance nightmare, a mistake, something that went south, some wonderfully embarrassing or fun thing that happened.
I thought I'd share one from the Jesus Christ Superstar Tour. So,
okay.
Speaking of Gethsemane, if anyone's heard it, you know that song is a whole lot of wailing, screaming, and... It's a rock song.
Yeah.
So it seems amazing that anybody would be able to sleep through that, let alone a performer on stage. So as I was playing Peter, and I did this for about 8 months, you get used to sleeping on stage. And I actually did one night. Unfortunately, oh my gosh. If you know the show, you know that Peter leads in the next song. I happened to wake up just in time for my cue, but I can't describe to you the fear in my heart at that moment. So I probably looked like I was really in the scene.
He's so believable.
Yeah. He just looked terrified. I was like, well, I was.
What caused you to fall asleep, though? I mean, were you just exhausted? Or?
Well, I mean, you essentially in the scene, Jesus is having his moment, and right. Peter, James, and John are on stage asleep. At least is how our staging was. And so I was actually... sleeping.
Yeah. So that comes with that method acting.
Yes, there you go.
Learning years.
Yeah, I followed Bob De Niro. You know, when he eats, he eats, and when I sleep, I sleep.
Barger, do you have a tale for us that you could share about some sort of onstage mishap that our listeners might find funny or embarrassing?
Biggest mishap when one of your actors gets suddenly sick, and as the director, you have to jump in and do the role.
Ah, when was this?
Got into productions, Pippin and Cabaret. I had to jump in as the sailor that sleeps with the whore.
Oh, wow. Wow, that was a Pippin and Cabaret, did you say?
Yeah, and Pippin, our choreographer, had to jump in for Catherine.
Oh, holy cow.
So,
and not much notice, or was there at least a day's notice?
None
at all.
We only had that night to work before the day.
Oh, wow. And how was it? Were you satisfied with your performance?
Well,
more importantly, was the whore satisfied? That's
the whore was always satisfied. But I'll tell you, the actors had a great payback.
Oh, yeah?
They got back for every little note.
Oh, yeah. I bet they did. Wow. Gentlemen, what a pleasure talking to both of you about
indeed.
This very, very exciting show. I cannot wait to see
me
it.
Me too.
I just, any opportunity to see this, I look forward to. But especially this production sounds so original and so unique and
absolutely.
So new. Very, very excited about it.
Congratulations on bringing such art as you have obviously been recognized for to Los Angeles Theater.
Thank you. Absolutely. Look forward to seeing you guys there.
Yes, we're looking forward to it too.
Thank you, Nate.
A pleasure.
Thanks for having
us on.
Thank you, Paul. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. See you next week.
See you on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.